In this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised his servant, Yemi Adomoju, to raise models of integrity and power, models that rise above the limits of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances, to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where he has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join Yemi Adomoju for the Word of His Grace.
The book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse number 11. Isaiah 51, 11. The Bible says, "Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy," somebody say everlasting joy, "shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy." Everlasting joy shall be upon them. They shall obtain gladness. They shall obtain joy. "And sorrow and mourning shall flee away." If that is your portion, let your amen be very loud. The American Standard Version of that passage, that verse is, "And the ransomed of Jehovah shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head." Everlasting joy. Isaiah chapter 61, verse number 7. Isaiah 61 verse 7. "For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them." Somebody say everlasting joy. The Bible in basic English says, As they had twice as much grief and marks of shame were their heritage, so in their land they will be rewarded twice over and will have eternal joy. Somebody say eternal joy. The Good News Bible says, "Your shame and disgrace are ended." Come on, is anybody saying amen?
Amen?
Your shame and disgrace are ended. That is a verdict from God. That is a verdict from God. And once God has spoken, every second word is unnecessary. And here God has spoken to somebody here. And I don't know who the fellow is, but he says, "Your shame, your disgrace are ended." Is anybody here who has faith in God? Not that they will end. Not is going to end. It has ended. I love that. You will live in your own land. You will build your own house. You will dwell in your own land. Nobody will chase you from your land. And your wealth will be doubled. Oh my God. Is anybody ready for double? That sister said, "I got double what I wanted." That's not where you are even going. You have not even started yet. "For you shall serve the Lord your God and he will bless." So that girl, let me call her girl, is blessed. Everyone serving God, you are blessed. Hallelujah. Your wealth will be doubled. Your joy will last forever. Ha! Everlasting, eternal, forever joy. That will be your portion. And so this morning, let me share with us on securing everlasting joy. How do I secure this everlasting joy? Let me start from where the coordinator, Brother Dami, my prof, started us from by saying that joy is a product of the inner peace or an inner peace that comes from a man's relationship with God. Note that. Joy is a product of inner peace that comes from a man's relationship with God. Job chapter 22 verse 21. Job, very quickly, chapter 22 verse 21. The Bible says, get acquainted with God. Get connected to God. Acquaint now thyself with God. Acquaint yourself with Him and be at peace. Thereby good will come to you. So there is a peace, there is a joy that floods the mind of a man the day he comes to Christ. Joy. Joy. It is a product of this peace that you receive when you come into a relationship. And so, and again, the Bible makes it clear in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, that joy is a nature of God's kingdom. It is a nature of God's kingdom. This is how we live in the kingdom. This is how we live in the family. We are joyful. We are joyful. We have this joy unspeakable that is full of glory. That it doesn't matter what we don't have, we are joyful. It doesn't matter what has not happened, we have joy. It is the nature of the kingdom. And you cannot be in the kingdom and not know joy. The first thing that happens to you when you come to Christ, you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, is that you feel this peace and you have this joy that you cannot explain. If you have not experienced that, your salvation is suspect. It's a nature of the kingdom. You are excited. You are happy. Despite the obvious imbalance, obvious lack or need or trouble or challenges around your life, you are joyful. You have joy. You have peace. And then people will begin to ask, what's wrong with her? Why is she happy? Why is she? They don't know. It's not just happiness. You have joy. Joy that cannot be explained. Joy is equally a fruit of the Spirit. It's a product of an inner peace that comes from your relationship with God. It is the nature and characteristics of God's kingdom. That Bible in Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink. It's not in food. But it is in righteousness. It is in peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Those are the characteristics of the kingdom. And it is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. Now the fruits of the Spirit is love. Joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So you can't have joy if you don't have the Spirit. The Spirit of God, I mean. Joy. I want you to know why joy must be everlasting. The importance of this joy before we see how we can secure and maintain this everlasting joy. Don't forget, we have always told you, and we need to tell you again, that you can only draw water from the wells of salvation by joy. In other words, you need joy to attract blessings from God, to attract favor from God. Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3. Therefore with joy shall they draw water out of the wells of salvation. Joy is essential to draw blessings. Everything a man needs to succeed or be fulfilled in life is available in God. It's available with God. You can only draw it by joy or with joy. A joyful life gives you access to the blessings of the kingdom. Joyfulness. Joyfulness. Secondly, joy gives you access. Don't forget, number one, you draw water by joy, you draw blessings. Number two, joy gives you access. If you need access to any place, just have joy. Just smile. Psalm 100 verse 4. Enter into his gate with what? And into his court with what? With praise. You can't be singing and be praiseful and not be happy. Joy gives you access. My discovery in life, excuse me, be joyful. And an expression of joy is laughter or smile. Wearing a fantastic look. Disposition. Smile. Smile. You know, your smile can open doors for you. And your frown can close shut door against you. You need something and you are just frowning. You can't be too serious than serious. Smile. You have come to my office and you are wearing a sad look. You're not a sad man. Joy. Joy. He gives you access. I went to my son's school yesterday. They were doing cultural day, so somebody must be there. So myself and my wife, we divided the time between ourselves. We didn't divide ourselves. We divided the time. So you go for the book checks very early. I was still in the study. I would go for the activities to bring him home. And then, they were doing cultural day, and they were dancing. And as I sat the children, I mean, there was one girl in the cultural, among the cultural, she was the youngest of them. But this girl was full of joy and smile. She was dancing and smiling. Small girl. Others were too serious with the dance. But I was focused on this little girl who was exuding joy. Then I didn't know when I got up. Carried my camera. I don't like breaking protocols. So when you see me, Eleni, it's a gentleman. You would think you've seen a perfect gentleman. I'm not saying I'm not perfect. I may not be perfect. I'm getting too small. Got up, took my camera, and I was just snapping the game. I don't need your sad face. Joy gives you access. Access to the heart of your helper. Access to the man who should ask your hand in marriage. Because the sadder you look, the older you look. You look older than your age. If you're always wearing a sad look, and I've always told you, if God speaks by his spirit to me and say, Yemi, your wife, look to your right. She's your wife. Anybody you see there, like some brother said, God said, as we get to fellowship today, the person that meets you first is your wife. Me, I don't want that kind of. So look, and I look to my right, and it's sister Nike, not Nikkel, Nike that I could see. And she's sad. She's not smiling. I will tell God, Father, speak again. Because sadness repels people. But joy attracts. Joy gives access. Number one, I have said, you with joy you draw blessings from the world. Number two, joy gives you access. Number three, joy is medicine to the body. I won't belabor this. Pastor shared it on Sunday, and also on Tuesday, Ezra Project, Pastor Wale did mention that. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain his sustaining in his sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Joy, it is medicine. Joy is medicine to the body. Number four, joy, I want you to pay attention to this. Joy keeps you from oppression. Joy keeps you from oppression. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil. Not because the days are evil, but because he is afflicted. So the days of the afflicted are evil. But he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. Because he is of a merry heart. Let your heart be merry. Be joyful. The Bible calls it everlasting joy. Listen. You cannot be oppressed until you are depressed. When you allow depression, sadness, oppression will flow. Will come easily. So you must guard against depression. And you must guard against anything that may want to depress you. Or anyone that the devil may want to use. And the devil can use anybody, including your spouse. That's the truth. So if he can use your spouse, who can he not use? He used Peter, the right-hand man of Jesus, against Jesus. And he said, get thee behind me, Satan. So he can borrow anybody for just a minute. May you not be borrowed. Supply, I'm not available. So anytime you are causing sorrow, you are affecting somebody negatively, you have just been borrowed for a second by the enemy. And that split second loan you give to him can ruin so many things. And you also must understand that the devil can borrow anybody for a minute. So if your spouse is behaving funny, just begin to think. Don't tell him, okay, you will scatter. Don't say that to your, don't say it. If you say it, you will destroy. But you see that, you will know it's inside. Just keep quiet. You won't say it. You will just be pleading, Emma Bino. I'm sorry. Then, after the I am even angry with your sorry. So don't tell anybody to bring you depression, to cause you depression. Please don't, for your own sake. Number four, I wanted to be sure you are following me. Number five, joy gives you strength. Joy does what? Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is only to our Lord. Do not sorrow. Do not be sad. For the joy of the Lord is... I can hear you. So it follows that if you don't have the joy of the Lord, you don't have strength. You are weak. And if you are weak, the enemy can mess you up. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord gives you spiritual strength. It gives you emotional strength. It gives you mental strength. Can I tell you, if you don't have joy, you can't gain access to revelation. If you don't have joy. If you are troubled and you are reading, can you worry? Is anybody... Can you really... You are studying Bible and you are angry. You are sad. Bible, it will look like it was, you know, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek. If you are reading the Bible and you are sad, it will be Greek mixed together. That's what you'll be saying. And you won't understand anything because you are sad. What do? Leave it. Get up. Remove that sadness and then go back. Joy gives you access. Joy gives you strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I told you my parents, we lived in a rented apartment for about 35 years. Rented apartment. And then I was trying to now build a house, a small house for my parents. I just had the passion. We had not built a house. We were also living in a rented apartment. And then my mother, ever since I knew her, had never been sick all her life. My mother woke up before anybody. And she slept after everybody. I never caught my mother on the bed for whatever reason. 4 a.m. up. It was when I was reading, you know, preparing for wife. My mother will come and look at me and say, it will cut it too. Around 1 a.m. too. My mom here lost where so we will cut it too. The one you see not go and sleep. My Lord, I go man. So that's my mother. And now my mother now broke her head. She became very sick. And she now was taken to my sister to stay with my sister to be taken care of. And then I was praying for her. What could be her pain? You know, my mother will not talk. But you know, one of the pains of her mother is an unchanging situation of the family. Our mothers will carry the pain. They will carry it. The unchanging situation of my husband. The situation of my children. Those are the things that weigh our mothers down. So,
I asked my wife to do the planning, the drawing of a house. A bungalow. The house they live in now. And they did the 3D. And then I went to my sister's house, armed with a picture. And I went to my mother and said, Mommy, I said, Mommy, I'm a CQ. And she said, I said, because I just brought the 3D. See the household that I want to build for you. So you cannot. She got up from the bed. She had joy. She began to pray. It was just an intention. She began to pray. God, but you could see the joy. Strength came. Because joy came. Joy is, gives strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That is why no matter how weak you are, a goodness comes from you. Energy comes. Joy. Like a young sister, a lady. Some of us, you are, yes, you. There was this clothes, this dress you wanted to buy, but too expensive. But you loved it. And now you are so weak, so tired. You just got back home after a trip. And then there was so much program, 10 days at Shiloh. Morning, evening. And then you now contracted malaria, added to the stress. And you are now very weak. And you say you are not even going to work. And your husband says, okay, don't worry, let me even go and cook. And suddenly, sister X, your friend, just called me and said, guess what? That clothes, that one that they brought from that London clinic, that other one, the price just came down to 25%. They are doing hey! You just jumped up. Energy, boom. Good news, joy, energy. And your husband is wondering, Shebi, you said you are sick. Shebi, I said she was weak. It's the good news that brought her joy. Joy gave her strength. So if you, husband, you give your wife joy, she will have strength. Strength to do so many things for the children and to serve you, her husband. I said to serve. So you may begin to decode the meaning of serve. You can ask Pastor Shola the meaning after serve. Me, I'm too old to begin to say something that is not. It's Pastor Shola, you can. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, within the few minutes I have left, you can only have joy and preserve your joy if I have about 7 points. Maybe I'll mention 3. And then we close. 7 points. Everlasting joy. Eternal joy. Forever joy. Is it possible to have a forever joy? To have an eternal everlasting, to be happy all the time. Now it does not mean that challenging situations will not come. But you won't trade your joy for those events. But see, joy eludes so many because of these few things and many more. But the few things we'll be able to talk about. You can only have joy and preserve your joy. Number one, if the weight and the guilt of sin is lifted off you. Are you silent? What's number one? I have told you before. When Paul in Romans chapter 7 was lamenting, and he said, oh wretched man that I am. Romans 7:24. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? From the body of this death. He was speaking from the understanding of the Romans' way of execution of criminals. Criminals. Isha Wesia. Somebody in the Light Proclaimers. Two. Come. I didn't tell you before, but come. Another person, Light Proclaimer, preferably a brother. Wait, where are you? Anybody? Life proclaimer? Come. Please leave. Thank you. Step up. Let's preach together. Okay. They wear equally. And in Nirugma, this man has killed this man. Who killed you? Oh yeah. This man killed this man. Whoever kills, the penalty is death. So his punishment, we carry the corpse and they slap the corpse around him. And then carry him about. No. Show the man. He keeps carrying. They strapped him around him to and anywhere he goes, hold the toner. Just hold it like that. Let him put his leg down. Wait. He does not mind to see carry him. But I hope I wish I could still carry anybody like that. He carries him about. Now, a decomposing body, when something dies, it becomes weighty and it smells. He carries about the body of the death, his victim. And nobody must loosen this death or strap. The stench and the weight eventually will kill him. The stench and the weight eventually will kill him. He killed, but the weight of his victim, the weight of the corpse, the body of death that is carrying about, and the stench will ultimately kill him. So that was why Paul said, with this picture, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Stay with me. Stay with me. What am I saying? You cannot have joy that will be everlasting until the guilt of sin and the weight of sin is lifted off you. And that was why he said, now if you read further in verse number 25, who shall deliver me from the body of this sin? Verse 25, Romans 7, very quickly, media, man, woman, are you there or have you gone? Too slow. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Nobody must set this man free. Nobody. But Jesus came. Can I have a Jesus here? Where are you, Jesus? You can be a sister now in the life proclaimers. You are Jesus. You don't really have to wear white to be Jesus today. Are you Jesus? Jesus, when he came, now agreed to die so that the weight of sin on your life and the guilt of sin on my life might be lifted off us. So as many, now Jesus came and set that man free. Remove the body of the death. That's why you must not allow anybody to kill him. If anybody kills you and runs to Jesus and says, I'm sorry, I killed. Forgive me. Hey! And he comes genuinely. Jesus will forgive him. He be told, listen here. If I were Jesus, I wouldn't let it happen. Like you are, after you have killed 900, now you had the Shina Rambo saying, he killed 900. After you have killed 900, you are not saying you are evangelist. Evangel what? Go and bring back those. Okay, you are evangelist. Elijah brought people from the grave. Go and bring people, Elijah. Go and bring the people, raise them back to life. Then I will now say you are saved. You keep 900 people to do charm. You are now saying Jesus is Lord. What about those lives? Oh, somebody gave me the answer there. May your life not be wasted. Yeah. Setting free. Eti free. Am I any more free? I am free. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Sin has weight. It is weighty. And let me show you, as I mentioned about three, in Mark chapter 2, let's read, it's fairly long from verse 1 to verse 12. I will attempt to be very fast here. Mark chapter number 2 from verse 1. I'll read from the New King James Version. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was hard that he was in the house. That's Jesus. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, you will break through. They let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their heart. Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sin but God alone? Verse 8. Immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up his bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." The weight of sin keeps a man and his destiny on the ground until the sins are forgiven him. It was this weight of sin that kept this man on the ground. And when he was finally brought to Jesus, the first thing that Jesus said before he asked him to carry his bed and go home was, "Your sins are forgiven you." So sin is at the root of everything that has grounded a man, that has grounded a destiny. Sin. And you see, you can't have joy until this weight of sin is lifted. You can't have everlasting joy. That's why if you are a child of God, you sin, you have sorrow. You are sad. You don't have peace. You don't have joy until you seek and obtain the forgiveness of God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, we make God a liar. But if he confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from all our righteousness, of all our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, 8, 9. Sin. So, to have joy that is eternal, that mommy should do something before I say it. Amen. May the Lord give you joy. Amen. Have you experienced the joy of salvation? The psalmist said, "Restore unto me the joy." When he sinned, that joy was withdrawn. And he cried to God, "Restore to me the joy of my soul." Because he knew there can be no progress without joy. There can be no access without joy. There can be no strength without joy. There can be no breakthrough without joy. There can be no drawing of water without joy. What can we do without joy? Can I shock you? There can be no conception without joy. Those trusting God for the fruit of the womb. There can be no conception. When you are too stressed, you are too tense, you are too... I've been privileged to pastor many pastors. Privilege of God to have many pastors. And I had a pastor many years ago. I've been married for many years, trusting God for the fruit of the womb. And it was okay, the wife okay, but we're trusting God. But do you know that lack of joy and anxiety was his bane? Every month, Shebi, it is the woman that does period. What don't say new? This man must not see. One day the wife used exidine. You know exidine mouthwash. It's reddish. And spat it, and then it's on the lavatory bowl and was there. And he you've seen blood again. So he got so agitated, every little thing. So I called him. I said, you are your wife's problem. This anxiety. Be happy. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. Leave children alone. Now, rejoice in the wife of your youth. You have the time now. You don't know anything. When the children come, you will need special grace to still remain together because of one bad day. So, to have everlasting joy, the weight of sin. Number two. Talk three. If you must have joy and preserve your joy, two. Then you can, let me put it this way. You can only have joy and preserve it if you do not make thingometer your measurement or yardstick for success. What did I just say? You know thingometer? That's big English. Very big. You know meter, we measure things. A thing. It's my English, it's not in the dictionary. Thingometer. You are not using things to measure success. I have 5 cars. My wife has 3. Each of my children have one. So I am successful. I have built houses, 14. I have this, I have that. I have all kinds of designer clothes. I have so much. That is not the measurement for success. That is not the yardstick for success. Your relevance in life is not a function of those things. Luke chapter 12 verse 15. Jesus was speaking. When somebody said, divide the property between me and my brother. Jesus said, my monitor is not working. Beware of greed or covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. The Bible, let me read that verse in some other translations. Where are we reading? Luke chapter, verse number, thank you. Contemporary English version says, then he said to the crowd, don't be greedy. Owning a lot of things won't make your life safe. Owning a lot of things. Message and New Living Translation. What do they say? Message. Speaking to the people, he went on, take care, protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. The third one, New Living Translation, NLT. Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. You will only have joy and maintain your joy if your life is not based on acquisition. Acquire this, acquire that, I obtain this, I obtain that, I have this, I have that. If your life is based and it is your yardstick for success, your measurement for success, you are a total failure. Because life does not consist in the abundance of the things a man has. You are not important because of the things you have. That is not the yardstick for measuring your importance. You are not good because you have. You are not the best because you have. You are not the worst because you don't have. Carry yourself high. You see, don't let what you don't have tamper with your joy. And don't let what you have make you feel big or proud. Who maketh you to differ from another? What do you have that you have not received? What do you have? Many years ago, I was a senior pastor of a very big church. Very big church. Very, very big church. Very big church. And I was on a salary of 30,000 naira in a month. And I had a pastor that he was on a salary of 22,550 naira in a month. A pastor. But this, I had a Mercedes Benz. I've always loved Benz. It's just that I don't have money to buy. I didn't have money. I will soon have to buy. Thank you for the one you bought. I appreciate it. You know I do. I will buy. Abi, the chairman. Watch this. This pastor, how much was I earning? How much was the pastor that me earning? And 50. He had the same regular Benz that I had, 1979 model. Both of us were using 1979 model Mercedes Benz. He had Opel Senator. He had Chrysler Jeep. He had one other car. I can't remember. I keep forgetting. Then he bought 3 series BMW. Then he came to me. He said, senior pastor, you are our senior. We are not happy the car you are driving. We are not happy. Mole Imelo. How many of you are not happy? Then I told him, I said, a man's significance is not measured by the car he drives. The car you drive does not show how important you are. It is who you are and the lives you have impacted. How many people are thanking God because of you? That's what gives joy. That is what gives joy. Everlasting joy. You impact a life. And you bless a life. You impact a life. You assist someone. You help someone. And they are thanking God because of you. That gives joy. You don't have joy by spending your money. You have joy by spending on others. When you spend for others, you spend money for them, it gives you fulfillment and joy. Helping someone. Not on things. I have not said it is bad to have things. No, sir. But a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he has. Now, this is the take. You may begin to lose your joy if you don't have what your friend has. Because you think that is the yardstick for measurement, for measuring success. I am not successful because I don't have what my friend has. There are lots of young people who have money and they flaunt it recklessly. And then if you are a friend to such a guy flaunting money recklessly, you begin to look at yourself, what is wrong with me? Now, nothing is wrong with you except one thing. And that one thing is that you think that success is defined by those things that your friend has, and you are comparing yourself with your friend. You are a fool. No, you are not wise. That's what the Bible says. So it affects your joy. And you do not know that your friend stole money. $350,000. And then he came to Nigeria and he's flaunting money as a big boy. Buying cars. And that's what he's doing. But you don't have the guts to try that. Why are you envying people? You don't know what they did to get to where they got. And you're envious. You better stay on your track. You better stay on your lane. Fulfill God's purpose for your life. That's success. That is what? That gives you joy, sir. That gives you joy. That gives you joy. Finally, avoid competition. What is all? If you are going to have joy, avoid competition. Please listen to me. You can do competition with only yourself. Get better than yourself. Get better than your present situation. Your present condition. I want to get better. I want to get better degree. I want to get better. I want to get better. You don't try to get even with somebody else. With somebody else. No. Don't run yourself to death trying to catch up with somebody who you don't know what he's doing to move with the speed with which he is moving. Am I communicating to somebody? If you want to have joy, if you want to have joy, and the joy to be everlasting, everlasting. It is 9 o'clock. Bow down your head. Until the weight of sin, the guilt of sin is lifted, no man can know joy. Until the weight of sin is lifted, can't really know joy. This morning, God wants to deliver through Christ some people from the body of death. You are here. You have not at any time accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have not given your life to Jesus. It was when I did that some years ago that the joy of the Lord flooded my spirit, man, my soul, my heart. Joy came. The weight of sin dropped. The guilt of sin dropped. And the Lord gave me a brand new nature. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. He says, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God gives to everybody an opportunity to find joy and make friends with him. And reconcile with him. Don't forget Job chapter 22 verse 21, where we started from. He says, acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. And so good will come to you. I was at a conference, a church 28th convention on Wednesday and on Thursday. And the servant of God was speaking on Thursday. And he said, there will be surprises in heaven. And then he said, in our church, his church in Abuja, one here, Vice Marshal, that was murdered. You remember how Les Barde was murdered? Bow your head, close your eyes. He was assassinated. He said, 2 weeks before that time, the man was in church, in his church. And then altar call was made. He said the man gave his life to Christ. He said he has never seen joy in his heart like that. And the man with joy. And he sat beside him after service. He was just talking. He was so full of joy. He gave his life to Christ. And 2 weeks after, he was assassinated. But he had reconciled with his maker. I don't know who you are. You need to reconcile with your maker. You are not going to die young. You will fulfill the number of your days. But it is important. What if Jesus comes tomorrow? As every eye is closed, as every head is bowed, you want to give your heart to Jesus, you want to become born again. Wherever you are, lift up your right hand. When I see your hand, I want to pray with you. Pastor, I want to be born again. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
You have just listened to The Word of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeyeju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeyeju in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.